listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Episode 220 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
Got no Cookie this week because he's busy.
Moving house,
sorting out things like, you know, he hasn't got internet yet, so it's a bit tough for him to join us on this week's podcast. But he'll be back soon enough.
And he's not even bothering trying to shout really loud.
Yeah, I mean, where's his can-do attitude? Well, maybe he is. Maybe. This week, it's not a special episode, but we're kind of like, we just, because it's been so long since we caught up with all of you and caught up with each other, that we're going to talk about what we've been up to. But we're going to try and, because it's been so long, kind of limit. We're not going to talk about everything everyone's been up to, because that might be a bit excessive. But we will, yes, talk about stuff we've been up to that is inadvertently in some way or other kind of geeky or nerdy. First up,
kind of.
So, Paul, what have you been up to?
Okay, well, around Easter time.
Oh my god, that was a million years ago.
I know. Around Easter time, I saw an offer on the Nintendo official store.
Mm-hmm.
For the mini SNES and the mini NES as a bundle. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have that. And then I thought better of it. So I tried to cancel it.
How did that go?
The cancellation didn't go through. I am now the owner of a SNES, mini SNES and a mini NES. And to be honest, I'm not sad about that.
They are nice little things.
I mean, considering how rare the mini NES is, and the mini SNES, even though it's less rare, it does have a good couple of games that were never released in the UK, like Super Mario RPG.
I wonder who we can blame for that. Nintendo.
Well.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's quite a selection of games on there. And I haven't played through them all. But I have played through to completion Super Mario World.
Surely you know that game off the back of your hand, the amount of times you've played that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. Super Mario World was, I think, possibly the game that sold me a SNES.
Fair.
And I was just starting at college in 1992, and I was wearing an onion on my belt, which was the style of the time, etc. Abe Simpson, old. And yeah, the SNES had just come out, and it's like, oh god, I'm out of things I have to do. And then there's, you know, a Super Nintendo in the shop with F-Zero, and, you know, there's Super Mario World, and I just thought, oh, bollocks to it. I'll have that, and I did not regret it, because it's rather nice, even though they did cheat a little bit, because all the little things where you're supposed to, oh, there are so many levels. It's yeah, actually, it's more like there are so many ways you can get to different levels.
Yeah.
But I'll shut up now.
That's right. So, yeah, I've been playing, or I was playing that quite a bit. Other stuff has popped up in between, but I'll get to that later. I'm quite surprised about the amount of two-player games on the, you know, mini SNES and NES. Mm. And the mini SNES actually comes with two controllers, which is quite nice.
Oh, now that is nice. I didn't know that.
Unfortunately, the Mini NES only comes with one controller, but it is compatible with the Mini SNES controller, so not too worried. doesn't
Are there enough buttons, though?
What do you mean?
On the NES... You know, if you want to use the NES controller on the snares, on the mini snares.
Oh, well, no, but it's... you can use the mini SNES controller on the mini NES.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, not an issue.
I'll tell you how to put some more games on there later if you want.
Is that the various means that at some point in the road involved Dave Internet?
Yes.
To be honest, I wouldn't want to risk the mini NES considering how rare it is.
To be fair, we'd be better off just building some kind of...
What, Raspberry Pi?
...type thing, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I've got a little piece of history in a way.
It is little. They're so dinky. They're kind of cute, compacted down to that size in a way I never thought possible for a games console. But apparently it is. They just look adorable.
They do.
Well, the original NES, as in, you know, the North American release, was built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, it was.
And it was a fugly thing that was designed to look like a VCR.
Mm. But at least the SNES in the UK looks a lot sleeker than
SNES There is no... I mean, I like purple. Purple is my favourite colour. But the American Super Nintendo can... Get out. Go on, get out. Mm. The Japanese design of the Super Famicom and, by extension, our Super Nintendo, which I still don't understand how we got that design. I still don't get that. But, yeah, it's just a really nice thing, and it's kind of timeless.
Yeah. I am kind of wondering whether they will bring out a mini Nintendo 64.
Mm. Should I be really... Should I be catty? And cynical for a moment, I know, to break with tradition. Which is the single board computer that they're both based on is very close to the Raspberry Pi, and that can do a decent job of at least some N64.
Mm.
So I will be slightly amazed if they don't, you know, if they end up not doing that.
Mm. That's fair.
They also did the IQ, as they called it in China, which was like a portable N64 where you bought the games online.
Way.
I know this is Nintendo we're talking about. It wasn't very successful, though. But it was a weird thing that they did, and it surprised me at the time. And I wanted one, but yeah.
That's fair.
Retroid, what's something you've been up to?
Well, I have been getting my head around more electronics.
Does this include the TV that's currently dismantled into tiny, tiny pieces in your house?
That's one of the things, yes. Which is, I've been scouring eBay for old TVs, and as in tube TVs. Yeah, okay. And I'm looking for two categories. One, which is the maybe about 21-inch Sony Trinitron TVs, and they're quite hard to find anywhere near Carlisle. And of course, with them being old TVs, everyone's, you know, pick it up from me.
Mm.
And going, you're 300 miles away. No. But this one is like a little camper caravan sort of alarm clock thing. Six inch color screen, which is, you know, one of the reasons which made me go ooh, because most of these small TVs, you know, sort of camper type ones, they're black and white, but this is a color one.
Mm.
With radio and, you know, nice glowing old-fashioned red LED clock on it. And I tested it, worked. And I took it apart today to see if I could find anywhere to just hijack a composite, as in, you know, standard, you know, as simple as you can get video input, which isn't RF. I can't see any way to do that with it without maybe taking the whole thing out, and I'm not wanting to do that. I don't have the time or the space to take, you know, all this out, because it's a mess inside. There has to be a lot of electronics to drive an old CRT in there, and it's also got a mains transformer in there, which I don't want to go anywhere near. There are high voltages in the mains transformer. There are high voltages in the CRT support circuitry. I'm not wanting to prod those. You can discharge them with a, you know, screwdriver, but yeah. Again, I don't have the time to do that. But I have plans to get video inputs on there. By you know when you'd buy a Super Nintendo, or even up to things like a Dreamcast or an N64, you would get a little RF adapter.
Yes. Yes.
And that would be like, you know, the crappest picture that you could get, but at least you would get it.
Yeah.
Onto your TV.
Yeah.
What they do is they take the composite video signal from the console and audio, and they basically just put those at a specific radio frequency. And then that's how you would have to tune in your TV to get the picture.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay, I vaguely remember doing that.
Yeah, and it's weird now to think that if you buy, you know, if you bought a machine, you would have to tune it in. You would have to find the channel, and, you know, I'll use channel 7 for this because channel 8 is the VCR, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And you'd just be, you know, going through, and it would be, oh, there it is, you know, snowy picture, and then go, there we go. But yeah, so what they do is they take composite analog video and they just put them on the radio frequency, hence RF. And I've got a few old ones of those, and I'm just trying to crack one of them apart and put one of my, you know, TV game sticks. Like I've got a Capcom one, which is one of my favorites. It's got 1942 Commando and Ghosts and Goblins, which is a nice selection. I've been trying to get that hooked up to the RF modulator from a Dreamcast, but I haven't been having much luck, to be honest. So I think the next step is I'm going to dig out one of my Dreamcasts and plug it in and then tune it. And if if it works, then work back from there.
Makes sense.
So, yeah. So it's not exactly what I was wanting to. It won't look as good as it, you know, it could, but it's a way of getting a picture on. And of course, these things would probably have cost about £200, at least, you know, back in the day.
Hmm.
So yeah, I've been fiddling with that. I'm happy I have it, but I can't do much with it at the moment because it only has RF input. And what the hell uses RF these days? It's basically nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I tested it with an old Skybox.
Ooh.
Where it was just sitting there saying, I can't get the satellite signal. And said, yeah, there's a reason for that. You're not plugged into anything. But it's like, you know, shut up. Just display, you know, a menu picture so I can at least tune this in and say, look, I've got a picture. It works. So yeah, that's what I've been doing for the last few days.
Okay.
On and off.
Emily?
What have I been up to? Okay, some of you who follow me on Twitter or Instagram, or, you know, are just friends with me on Facebook, may have realised that I fell down a fandom chasm, hole, abyss.
Uh-oh.
Over the past few weeks after finally reading what's currently out of the webcomic Check Please, which is a webcomic that started in 2013, and it's done by, I don't think I'm able to pronounce the name, but I'm going to give it a go, Ngozi Izaku. Ikazu? Ngozi Ikazu?
Something like that.
Yeah, which is about a former figure skater turned ice hockey player college student called Eric Bittle as he kind of goes through college and stuff, and he's on a sports scholarship, which means he plays for the college's ice hockey team. And it's about him, you know, being on the ice hockey team and all the baking and stuff he gets up to and all the vlogging he gets up to. Was talking about baking and ice hockey. And of course,
ice hockey and baking.
Yeah. But then also, it's a very aware web comic, and it actually has a. It's Eric's gay, and there's main plot around that basically, and it's really well done. It's currently it hasn't been updated since I think December last year, but the author and artist they I'm gonna go with they, it's safer at the moment. I think they basically do like episodes, so like they update it every so often with like kind of like a splurge of content basically. And there's like an actual physical copy of like the first arc that's come out, or part of it at least, being printed later this year. Anyway, fell down the fan hole. What? How do I know I've fallen down a fan hole? Because I've been happily reading fanfic about it. And this has only happened for a couple of things. So I've only read fanfic within, obviously, Supernatural, like extensively. Most of the fanfic I've ever read has been Supernatural. But I've also read a little bit of Yuri on Ice, Hannibal, and now Check Please is added to the mix. It's like the first webcomic that I've read in like a really freaking long time. Like back a million years ago, so in the early 2000s, I was really into Mega Tokyo, which is like a doujinshi style webcomic. Like I fell out of reading that probably sometime around, end of college. And I would occasionally, before they were proven to be kind of utter dicks a bit, we'd stop by Penny Arcade and stuff. But I haven't read webcomics basically in any way or form for forever. And then this past month, I've just been like, Check, Please. And that's referring to, for those of you who don't know, a check is a thing that happens in ice hockey where basically someone kind of goes up to you, kind of slams into you a bit, sort of a half tackle kind of thing. But obviously you're on ice, so it's not quite a tackle. But to get the puck from you, they check you, basically. And there's a whole subplot around the character Eric Bittle and checking. It's just been really fun reading it and embedding myself within a couple of people who've got some fandom stuff going on with it, and chatting to them about it. Basically, it turns out that I feel like there should be this Venn diagram, basically, of fandom, which is like you sort of got Supernatural in one corner, and then like Yuri and Ice on another, then Hannibal's in another, and then Check Please is another. But basically, there's this point where they cross over in terms of the kind of people who are interested in all of them at the same time.
Is it just you?
No, there's a surprising amount of people. I think it's because like I've just seen people like over the years posting about it, and it's the same people I'll follow for things like Supernatural. And so it's always been like vaguely on the horizon, you know, vaguely on my radar, and then I finally, you know, bit and went in. What was the other thing? I'm reading like this really nice fanfic at the moment. It's an alternate universe fanfic based on Check Please, but it's kind of like a punk AU.
Right.
Well, they're in college, but they're also like most of the characters are like punk, basically. And the person who wrote it very nicely pulled together a load of Spotify playlists to go with the fic. So it's like all the punk songs and stuff that actually get mentioned in it, which is like, I think, a really nice touch. So also whilst reading Check Please lately, fanfic lately, I have also then slowly been rediscovering punk or contemporary punk or contemporary-ish punk, basically. Pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul, what else have you been up to?
I watched through Netflix's interpretation of Lost in Space.
So did I.
Now, I've only ever watched the Matt LeBlanc film. I was not of the generation that saw the original 60s TV show.
So, you're of the generation like me that saw the, was it the 1999 film with Matt LeBlanc?
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, it's just like...
There was no film with Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, but what about the catchy rehash of the theme tune that I tried once upon a time to record onto a cassette tape whilst it played on Radio 1?
I think I remember I may have got that from one of the like Now CDs or something. I can't remember, but I do remember having that. But
I will just say that the film is one of those which it came out at the time, and I remember there was a big fuss about it, but it's kind of just disappeared, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of did.
I actually got taken to a birthday party to watch it.
But yeah, anyway, so I enjoyed it, but by the same token, I don't know what it was exactly, but I found myself not focusing on it. Anyway, I'm not sure whether it necessarily grabbed me. In the sense of, you know, oh, I have to see what happens next. But yeah, I did get through it.
It was watchable. It was all right. Yeah. The issue I had with it was, they sold it as like it's one of the family series that they're trying to do.
Mm.
You know, as well as, you know, having, you know, the more mature stuff that they can just, you know, chuck out. It's these are the kinds of things that you could watch with your family. It's yeah, but then sci-fi nerd me was right. So what? They're in a different galaxy. I think they were dumped into a different galaxy.
Yeah,
and it's okay. It's an oxygen nitrogen atmosphere planet that they're on. The amino acid chains are exactly the same. Nothing's got, you know, weird toxicity in it, which would mean, you know, that even touching it would lead to instant toxic shock.
Yeah.
You know, and there seems to be a stunning lack of wildlife.
Tell you what, Retro, what they're going to do is come season 5, they'll just do what the new Battlestar Galactica did.
Or just reboot it.
Or, you know, the fact that it's actually...
Yeah, it's oh hi God. Yeah, oh what are we here? This looks a little bit like a boot, this landmass that we're on.
This all looks incredibly familiar, blah 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 blah. Not that I'm prejudging much.
Well, I mean they've got off that planet now.
I thought the robot was pretty cool in the new Lost in Space.
Yes, I mean they've remixed it so that it's far more relevant in today's, you know, world. Like say for example, having the father that is kind of not quite attached to the family.
Mm.
So it's kind of a slightly broken family. And, you know, they're not all, you know, it's like good. They've all got secrets to hide.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what was refreshing. I didn't hit the children.
You didn't hate the children. For a second, though, I thought you said
I thought he said the children. Yeah, he also thought he didn't hit the children. Yeah, okay.
I'm glad you didn't hit the children.
Well, it's yeah, but I liked them all, including, you know, little Will Robinson, and I thought that's quite something to be able to do characters like that aren't just I'm going to do something deeply stupid just to get the rest of us in trouble.
Yeah,
trust me, the original series, which I didn't see an original. Broadcast, you cheeky bastards.
I was not thinking that.
It was repeated on Channel 4, like Sunday lunchtimes.
Ah.
In possibly the 80s.
Mm.
But yeah, it was repeated then, and I thought it was one of the more bearable of the 60s things that they showed. Another one was Land of the Giants, which was crap.
Hmm.
Sorry to any Land of the Giants fans out there, but I don't care who does something stupid, wanders off and then gets kidnapped and the rest of them have to come and rescue them this week just so they can stand next to a giant plug and a pencil. Because you've got those in stock. I don't care. But yeah, like, it was a nice reboot and it worked well enough.
Yeah.
But it was a bit, it was very safe.
Yeah.
And I mean that from a, you know, sci-fi perspective, not just everyone, you know, should be going around, you know, hacking limbs off.
I mean, it's kind of set up a couple of interesting things, like what the hell was the deal with a robot and whatnot.
Do we know if Netflix are happy with it enough to do a season two?
I believe they are doing season two, yes.
Okay. Retroid, what else have you been up to?
So, well, I have been this'll amaze you. I have been fiddling with more electronics.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. This was because I was browsing eBay.
As you are wont to do.
Yes. And in this case, it was not old technology. It was new technology, which caught my eye, and for the wrong reason.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
Which was, I've fiddled about with some nice little LCD monitors, which they're sold. Does kind of, you know, put them in your car and you can use them as a backup camera type, you know, little screens. They're about 4.3 inch widescreen, you know, little things. Mm. They're designed to run on the 12 volt internal car, you know, voltage.
Yeah.
All of that. And they cost maybe about 9-10 quid from China. They're popular for the Raspberry Pi because, of course, they're small screens.
Mm.
And they're cheap and you can, you know, do this and that with them. But in this case, what some people have been doing, I won't mention names, you know, or sellers, they've been slightly rejigging them, putting in a very cheap power supply, and then flogging them for 40-odd quid and calling them Raspberry Pi monitors.
Oh.
Now, I don't care what you add to something when it costs you about £8.50 to £9, you know, delivered from China. I don't care what you really do. You cannot justify flogging them for 40, 45 quid.
No.
Especially so, not based on the idea that they're, you know.
Yeah. And so what I've done is just, you know, just to prove to myself that, you know, I could do something like that is, you know, I ordered one and it was, you know, about £8.40. Hmm. It arrived, I took it apart, prodded it with my multimeter, mapped out what voltages it needed, and I've made a better version. And just for, I mean, I'm thinking of looking on eBay for probably at most half the price of this bloke. Mm. But just an eight, you can do it like this, and this is what I've done with it. Here are pictures. Because I know from experience, since I've been playing about with them for, you know, for years since I got interested in the Pi, you get these cheap screens, and they're designed to run on the 12 volts. 12 volts is hard to come by. You know, no phone charges on a 12-volt charger. You know, that kind of thing. Mm. The Raspberry Pi does not output 12 volts. So, you know, there are all these things. So what I did was I've got a little voltage up regulator, and whatever voltage you put into it, you can set it to, you know, so it outputs a higher voltage. So I set it to 8 volts and then fiddled about with capacitors, which, to give a, you know, quick explanation, they're kind of like reservoirs. If you've got something, you know, if you've got a tap which is just sputtering, you know, to use a different analogy. So, you know, you've got, you're trying to fill a bath and you've got the, you know, the tap which is sputtering and it's not a solid, you know, flow of water. That is bad for electronics because electronics, you know, presumes there's going to be just a nice steady flow. A capacitor acts as like a small cup that you can put under the tap, and it's got a spout on it, and once it reaches a certain capacity, it will just output a nice steady flow of the water into your bath so it doesn't splash everywhere. So I've been fiddling about with these capacitors because I've not known what values to use on, you know, different things, and I figured out that these voltage upregulators require these capacitors, because if you put the if you turn on one of these monitors with one of these upregulators and it's trying to move, say, a Raspberry Pi or a USB's 5 volts up to 8 volts, it will sputter and start and it will not work properly. It'll work after a while. It'll sort of catch itself, but you're looking at, you know, a few minutes. If you put some capacitors in there of a high enough value, then they fill up and they, you know, provide a nice steady current. Flow of electricity to the rest of the circuit, and it instantly comes on, or, you know, instantly to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I've been using that as kind of an experiment in the, you know I can do this, but what do I need to do it? So I've been learning to grok capacitors a bit more than I have done. So I've also got an idea of possibly adding a speaker to these tiny monitors. So I'm waiting for a delivery. This is one of the advantages of mass production. This will shock you, but the iPhone is made in China, right? The Chinese make a lot of spare parts for these phones, and an iPhone, it has all right audio. You know, it's not going to be brilliant out of a tiny speaker, but it's, you know, they've finessed it over several generations, so at least it's acceptable, you know, to listen to things. And they don't take up much space because they have to fit in a bloody phone. So I've ordered 10 iPhone 5 speakers for a little over £1, to give you an idea, you know, how much these things... Yeah, exactly. So it's a little internal replacement speaker, and it's just a speaker. Wow. It doesn't do anything amazing. It's not using, you know, graphene or, you know, five-dimensional physics or anything like that. It's just, it's a small speaker which is mass-produced, so it's cheap. So I'm going to try, when those arrive, I'm going to try hooking them up to a little amplifier board I've got, and I'll see if I can get sound working on these little monitors just running from a Raspberry Pi power supply. Which is a damn sight more than those assholes on eBay have been doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically I'm looking into ways to, you know, make a little bit of money, not rip people off, but, you know, just learn how to do these things and then, you know, pass it along with. Yeah, I've seen stores online selling these monitors, just the vanilla ones that you get from China for about 30, you know, 30 quid. And I think that's a huge ripoff. You know, it's not acceptable to me for, you know, people who are just wanting to play about with these things. They don't know how the electronics work. They're like me when I first started off with the Pi. I didn't know much about the electronics part. I just wanted to play about with a tiny little computer that ran Linux and could do emulators. That was it. You know, I didn't want any of this hassle. And then when I looked around, can I use these monitors? And then, you know, there were lots of the forum warriors, as I call them, who were saying, oh, no, you definitely need 12 volts. You have to do these things. And, of course, because I've not been told that these are, you know, this is how these things work, I've been looking at them thinking, well, surely there's a way, and you know, how to get around that. And I found them.
Nice.
Emily?
What else have I been up to? It has been a check, please. Besides Chasm. Something else other than Trek, please. Okay, right. So, obviously, still watching Supernatural Season 13. Season 13 started airing in the UK a couple of weeks ago. On Tuesday this week, episode 3 of Season 13 will air in the UK the same week that episode 21 of Season 13 airs in the US. That's how far behind the UK is. And you just know that even if we do obviously manage to catch up basically between like now and the start of October, pretty much, there's no way that E4's going to bother
doing it close.
Yeah. But Season 13, I want to talk about the more exciting stuff, not what the UK's getting at the moment. Season 13, the latter end of the season, it's looking interesting. I'm wondering what the hell's going to happen, because there's a lot of ways things could go at the moment. There's been some really good acting from like Jared Jensen and Misha for some harder moments that they had to have in the past few episodes. But there's also been a return of a certain character or two that no one was quite expecting, which was shocking and yet delightful at the same time.
I was pleased.
You were pleased. Good. This is a good sign.
Yes.
So hard talking about it.
I was gonna say, it's a good sign that the miserable, cynical bastard. I will just slip in that, you know, for all my about the Scooby-Doo episode, I thought they did that well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, that you could watch the season without it. Like, it didn't really add much to the main season, but it was quite enjoyable how they translated Sam, Dean and Castiel to the Scooby-Doo universe.
It made internal sense, which is usually one of my biggest problems.
Yeah, when doing something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was ready to pan it if it needed it, but, yeah, I watched it and I thought it was quite decent. It was quite good.
Meanwhile, while I liked the return of a certain character over the last couple of episodes, 1320, which was directed by Richard Speight Jr., and it's not the first episode that he's directed, but it was like really stylized. And I'm not sure if, because I know what he was sort of like, him between him and whatever writer might have been involved, but it feels like they were sort of harking back to Kill Bill. And I'm not sure if it quite worked. Because it felt quite forced at times. That would be my assessment on that front. That's Supernatural. Okay. We've got 3 episodes left of the season, and it's all to play for. I have no idea what heartache they're going to leave us with at the end of this season. Because, let's face it, there was a lot of heartache at the end of season 12.
Can I ask, you know, now, yeah. for some reason, I think that you might know these things about Supernatural.
Oh, dear.
Do they have a significantly different writing team working on it now than they did, say, you know, a few seasons ago?
They do. Andrew Dabb is the showrunner now. Mm. I think a couple of seasons ago that would have been, was it Thompson? No, Thompson left, but he wasn't the showrunner. Carver left because he'd been the showrunner for ages. It's a significantly different team going on at the moment with a lot of new writers in the past, like season 12 and season 13, but still with some of the older ones kicking about, like the terrible dude that is known as Buck Lemon. However, they are responsible for actually writing something half decent in season 13. So they should.
Bloody hell.
I know, it was ridiculous how that happened. I didn't even think it was plausible that something like that could happen, but it did. That speaking of stuff that's impossible, I just, as anyone else at this point, just want Lucifer to die in Supernatural. Just want him gone. Just vamoose. Just I can put that asshole out of his misery, please, because he's just such a whiny little twit.
Yeah, he is. I still kind of like him though, because he's such a bastard. I liked when he was down on his luck again, trying to avoid spoilers and just trying to work things out.
Well, I'm really hoping that maybe Sam finally gets his big revenge.
It would be nice.
It would be incredibly nice.
But yeah, the reason I asked, if it has a different, writing show running team at the moment, is that it's its 13th season, and it actually seems more coherent.
Yeah, I think they're sort of like they seem to, or at least Dab seems to be doing a better job of keeping stuff together. Basically, because,
yeah. Judging from past seasons, my expectation was going to be, "Oh, Jack, oh," and then he's going to disappear, and then we're going to have several Monster of the Week ones with, no mention of Jack, other than at the end of the episode. Dean says, "Hey, we best go get Jack, because he's dangerous." And, Sam emotes a little bit. And then end credits. As they've done for several years.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's a big, terrible thing happening, which we won't talk about for our 6 or 7 or 8 episodes, and then we'll suddenly, plow back into it. Mm. But it's been pretty consistent in that there's a narrative there. And I like that. I approve.
I mean, you still get the, individualistic, kind of episodic bits.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But they're very eager to get back to the task at hand.
Exactly. And that's been kind of, this is better than it was.
Mm. Okay. All right. Paul, okay, we're now into our final round of what we've been up to. Gentlemen,
yeah. Keep it
short and sweet.
Ah.
Paul, what have you been up to?
Well, we saw Avengers Infinity War.
For which we will not spoil or risk Thanos kind of chomping on our asses or something, as far as the hashtag seems to be concerned.
Yeah.
Stuff happened in the film. Lots of stuff happened in the film. There was an amazing amount of stuff that happened in the film. Right, Paul?
Right. There was stuff that happened in the film.
Would it make much sense if you hadn't seen the other Avengers films, asking for no tweet reason?
It would not make much sense if you had not seen the previous films. You could perhaps get away with not having seen Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you probably should have watched the other fucking films rather than starting on page 400 and what's it of it, as it were.
No, and you could probably get away with the Avengers films themselves rather than...
Yeah, to an extent. But you certainly, if you haven't seen Black Panther or Thor Ragnarok, you will be lost.
Yeah.
So... I think, really, in order to fully, decently grasp the film, you will have need to have watched pretty much every single one, other than, I think, pretty much Ant-Man. Like, Ant-Man's the...
odd man out?
I think so, yeah. Retro, why would you be asking us about this, though? Why?
I made an off-the-cuff, late-night, just sort of, dig at a reviewer who said that, it doesn't make much sense if you haven't seen anything else.
Was it a review from The New Yorker?
I believe it was, yes.
Oh, dear.
And I made some, clearly exaggerated for comic effect. Turn up like 2 pages, before the end of a book and, what's going on? What's the motivation? And a late episode of Breaking Bad. Mm. I don't know why people are doing these things. The answer is clearly you start at the beginning. Mm. Clearly, that's the answer. But
Yeah. That put the important question though is, did you like the stuff that happened in the film?
I did.
Be careful what value judgments you make after this.
See, I don't know even what would count as a spoiler.
You can't. Every fucking possible thing you could say about this film, other than the fact that the Avengers are in this film, plus, you know, everyone else, other than that one character that I've mentioned several times being unimportant in terms of his film in relation to this film. That's pretty much where we are.
Don't wanna spoil it for anybody, but it's definitely wow.
Did it feel like the right level of payoff for the amount of time and money that you've invested into this series of films?
Yeah, I would say so. It's pretty epic.
Okay.
And it's had a ridiculous opening weekend in the US. Yes. Have you heard the numbers?
The big numbers.
Big Star Wars, didn't it?
The one I heard was that it's now the number one biggest opening weekend, was $630 million. I mean, over half a billion in an opening weekend.
What, in just the US?
Just in the US.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Rock Troy, one more thing you've been up to, short, succinct.
Well, let's see. One of the things I was going to mention was watching Lost in Space. So that's out the water.
Sorry.
No, thank you. generally, well, I'll tell you what. The last week I've been cat sitting.
Oh, that's such a terrible shame.
Yes. There was also a house involved, but that was unimportant.
The most important aspect.
Yeah.
Of this,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was. Yeah. Definitely. And I won't get into it, but there are reasons why the Wi-Fi wasn't working, which was odd, and I couldn't work out why. I know that I've got a good idea of the cause, but I'm not going to go into that because it's kind of worms. For most of the week, I didn't have Wi-Fi when I was around there. So I've been watching episodes of Next Generation and Buffy the Vampire Slayer again. Because they're on Sci-Fi. So I've been, final season of Buffy.
Oh, okay. Not that it's bad, but it's just, it's painful in its own ways.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's been years since I've seen that, and as a consequence, I've suggested to Mrs. Retroid that we should definitely, you know, have a rewatch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm.
Because we can do that now, it's good! Since she got into it on the original run on Sky before I did, because I'd seen bits of the film and I thought that was bad.
Yeah, the film's not a fair thing to judge the franchise.
Oh, though. Yeah, I know, but this was, you know, before I really knew that. And then, of course, they've done a series of Buffy the Vampire. Why the hell would I watch that? Why? You know, the film wasn't very good. Why would I watch the series? And I got into it by about halfway through the first season.
Okay.
So, I quite enjoyed it at the time. But whereas we've rewatched things like Babylon 5 and, you know, the Star Trek series, have not rewatched Buffy. So I think this should definitely fix that.
Agreed.
And while that was going on, it was season 7 of Next Generation, also on Sci-Fi.
Wait, two season 7s?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was towards the arse end of season 7 of Buffy when I was watching it.
Mm.
For example, Xander had an eye patch.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just starting season 7 of Star Trek Next Generation. And yeah, I just remember watching that particular season and thinking, I really like this series. I am a big fan, but I want it to stop now.
I can't remember what the state of season 7 of Next Gen was like.
It had its good episodes, but it was also a bit by the numbers.
Okay. Yeah.
As an example, there was, you know, the whole thing that Next Generation had, and you know, a lot of series at the time had, which was, you know, the A and B plot lines.
Mm. Yeah.
Where you'd have the main one going on, and that would be the, oh no, there's a Romulan, blah blah, and then the B one would be a crewman having hassle, you know, adapting to being on, you know, the big ship, or you know,
something's
like
gone wrong with the holodeck.
No, that was usually a
well, was it always?
Yeah, it depended.
Most time. And usually the B one was them trying to figure out how to fix the holodeck while also, you know, it's like having problems with, you know.
I'm sorry. I degraded the holodeck plot lines.
to be honest, I mean, considering how much hassle they seem to cause sometimes, it's like this is technology that is throughout the entire starship fleet, in essence. You should not be having all this trouble. Like, all the time.
Yeah. Maybe the distance of the fleet from any real base stations meant that it was really hard to get patches through in a consistent manner.
I think it was consistently in beta.
Yeah.
The holodeck. But, yeah, so in the first few seasons, definitely when it was in its stride in, say, episode 3, 4, 5, season 3, 4, 5, Next Generation would, if two characters needed to, you know, hash out their relationship, which they hadn't addressed, that would be a B plot. Mm. By season 7, it's, hey, we've not said anything about Picard and Dr. Crusher having, you know, a bit of a thing. So let's make it an A plot by, for some reason, having psychic handcuffs. When they're on a planet, and you know, then they have to address what you know each other's thinking, and it's just
psychic hang. That sounds like the plot of a fanfic.
Well, psychic neck cuffs, but the
it still sounds like the plot of a fanfic.
It's just yeah, it does because it's like oh, you feel that way. Well then,
anyway, you know,
but yeah, it's just. I was and also by season 7, they'd completely fucked over the Borg.
What do you mean by fucked over?
Well, in seasons 2, 3, and 4, the Borg were, you know, the big scary thing, which was far away, and it's, you know, it could be coming to get us, and it's in a hive mind, and you can't reason with them, and they're just wanting to, you know, absorb your, you know, biological entity and your technology, and you know, to use for their own kind of thing. But by season 7, the big cliffhanger between season 6 and 7 was, the Borg who have gone a little bit individual because they got my pet Borg Hugh in season 6, have been taken over by Law. And that was just a bad storyline.
Okay.
And that's why I've said by the time Voyager comes along, it does rehabilitate the Borg because it comes up with some new ideas of its own, you know, like the Queens being, you know, like, you know, just one step up on the hierarchy. But they're still a collective, you know, all that kind of thing. But yeah, Next Generation was trying to do things with the Borg, and it just was not working, in my opinion, and it was a bit poor.
That's fair.
So
anyway, Emily.
Okay, final thing. It is another comic situation, but this time an actual physical comic. I bought my first comic book in
Dead Tree
several years. Yeah, Dead Tree comic book in several years. Like, first time since probably like 2015, probably. And yeah, so I bought issue one of Image's Skyward, which is about a world. Oh, wait, give me a moment. I think Paul's just got to readjust the microphone because it's drunk.
After my beer.
It's an Image Comics issue number one of Skyward, which came out a few weeks ago. It was early this month, well, April, for those listening in May, because that's inevitably when you will be listening to this episode. So yeah, it's about a world where gravity suddenly disappears one day, and what it's like living there with no gravity. And I really enjoyed the artwork, and things like that. But the main premise of the story at the moment is like really freaking bugging me, because what having no gravity would imply, because it's still Earth, and it's like, well, in order for there to be no gravity, the Earth would have had to have stopped spinning. But if the Earth isn't spinning, then stuff would have floated away, like the atmosphere.
To be fair, if
and we wouldn't have a thingy layer. Ozone layer, atmosphere and ozone layer and stuff. So like, we'd be killed by radiation. And
to be fair, if the Earth stopped spinning, you would still have gravity.
Not as
what, but also what? So does that mean that nothing has mass anymore?
I don't know, but everything just floats around, and that there is like a real risk that if you use too much propulsion, like if you push off of something too hard, you could just lose yourself in the sky. And there's no clear indication yet how they managed to get things like food and stuff, and like if the sea and oceans are still okay, and what happened to all the birds, and are dogs no longer a thing. And so
it basically seems like the scientific premise of this is very flawed.
I mean, it looks visually cool, but it's just really bugging me on that front.
I mean, potentially you'd still have oceans and whatnot because of surface tension, but the oceans wouldn't necessarily be kind of, you know, the same. They'll could rise over mountains and stuff.
It's just, if they said really low gravity, like suddenly gravity was, you know, 1% of what it was.
Or the level of what it is on the moon or something.
Yeah, but no gravity?
Yeah.
This is like me watching Lost in Space and taking real issue with no one's dying just from touching a plant. What's going on?
I might check out issue two, but it is taking a lot for me at the moment to kind of just overlook the plausibility of its premise.
Yeah.
Like, it feels less plausible than like almost every single X-Men or X-Women that's ever existed in terms of their mutant powers and stuff. Just because the thing, you know, like the MacGuffin for X-Men, the whole X-Gene and stuff and blah blah, all that kind of thing, like, at least that kind of makes sense, whereas when you sort of like declare gravity is no longer a thing, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's just, if you're going to do something which is supposed to be impossible, at least give it a reason and a logic.
I mean, it might get further explained. I mean, there was, like, one of the characters by the end of the issue was like, oh, I think I've got an idea about how to reverse this thing that's been going on for, like, almost 20 years or something.
I mean, technically speaking, if it's something that is not affected just the planet, if it's, like, gravity everywhere in the universe is basically been nullified, then you'd have planets literally spinning off from their solar systems.
Or colliding with suns and other stars.
Yeah.
As they spin off the axis. The spin off the axis doesn't necessarily mean that they might spiral away. They might spiral further inwards.
Well, no, because conservation of angular momentum means that they'd basically just go...
Okay, so we would shoot off. So, then if that's the case, if we shot off, say, from the sun, then there wouldn't be any life left on the planet, because obviously we've got that optimum temperature thing going on. That allows good things like photosynthesis to happen. So, yeah, the plausibility of the comic is bothering me.
The entire galaxy would literally rip apart.
Well, at least it saved us from, was it crashing into Andromeda?
In a few billion years.
But, you know. So I'm unsure whether or not I'm going to pick up issue two. But I think one of the reasons I picked it up was because the comic book shop that's in Truro, which is Birds of Bear Comics, has moved into new premises. And they're actually really nice and airy compared to where they used to be. So we sort of like wandered in, and it was new comic day because it was Wednesday. And I just saw an issue of it, and I thought the cover looked really interesting because it's got like the main character on it upside down. And I thought, wow, it's Image. Might as well have a look. So I did. And it's like, it's really annoying because, like I said, I really like the art style. It's just the story's just like, nee.
See, a little knowledge can be an awful thing to have sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got time for in this week's episode. The next episode we do, hopefully, which will be 221, will be a Final Fantasy special. You do not have to have played all the Final Fantasies out there in the world, but it would certainly help if you have played at least one of them, if you're listening into that episode. So that's all we've got time for this week. So it's good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blurt. I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blurt.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find NerdAssemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're on Facebook and Twitter and... You know, we're on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast, we're on Twitter at Nerds Podcast, we're also on Instagram at Nerds Podcast, not that we've posted there in a while, but that's because we keep forgetting to.
And that's because Cookie likes to post there most often, and he's got no internet at the moment.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing you for 221. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.